We're going to start on Kufdenim and Aleph, about 12 lines down. Pasuk in Hosea. Pasuk in Hosea says, "V'shachata seitim hemiku v'ani musar l'chulam." So the literal translation of the pasuk is that the apostates are deep dyed in slaughter, and I castigate all of them. But the Gemara here is going to take a little bit of a different track, which is that Amar B'Yochanan, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, hem hemiku meshali. Their decrees were much more serious than mine were. Ani amarti, I said, kol she'inu le'ed regel over baset. If you don't come up to Yerushalayim, then you're only in violation of an aseh. And that there's a requirement to be over the regel, but that's it. There's no lot aseh involved, there's no chiyuv karet, nothing else associated with it. Whereas the Behemam Ru, and they said, this is talking about the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, they said, kol le'ed regel yidakir becheret. Anybody who goes up to Yerushalayim will be, you know, pierced by the sword. So they threatened them with death threats not to go up to Yerushalayim. So here the play is either on the word here, which is v'shachata, from the word shochet, right? So the Rashi brings down two possible interpretations. One is v'shachata, is literally lashon shechita, that kol mi she'olah regel and leaves the shechita, or the shechting of the korbanot to the agalim, to these golden calves, he will be put to death. Or Rashi also used the other possibility Rashi gives, is that they were shatim acharel, that they floated after it, they were drawn after the shechita, towards the agalim, they were drawn after that. But either way, Kodesh Baruch was making the point that when it came to his own kavod, he only said an aseh. When it came to their kavod, to prevent them from going to Yerushalayim, they took a much more extreme approach to prevent the people from going up to Yerushalayim. It says, Vayitahi, V'yiravam yatzam Yerushalayim, V'yimtza oto achiyah shiloni anevi v'derech, hu mitkaseh b'salmah chadasha. Since Yeravam leaves Yerushalayim, he bumps into Achir Shaloni, who's the Navi at the time, and the Navi's wearing a new, right, cloak, or some sort of new piece of clothing, a scarf. Tana Mishim Rabbi Yossi, eight, he, Mizumena de Paranut. This was a time, or a moment, that was ready for Paranut, for something negative about to happen, which is that the Malchut is about to be split. And now we're going to have a number of statements by Rabbi Yossi about Pshukim that seem to indicate or are ominous in terms of their time. So he brings down the puzzle. The time that I come to pay them their due, they will be wiped out. It's a time that was designated for Puranut. Again, they're talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Then we have the other opposite effect, which is Be'it Ratzon and Eticha, right, at the time of when there is an Eit Ratzon, then Hashem does, and we saw that by Moshe Rabbeinu also, when Hashem has an Eit Ratzon, you're able to get more and additional requests that you can make of Hashem. And that time Hashem also Eit Mizumen at the Tovah. That's a time that was open for goodness or ready for goodness. And obviously in the Midbar we're talking about, that was Yom HaKippurim, which we know is an Eit Ratzon. Here it's talking about that Tid Davo. Alright, Uviyom Pokti Upagati Aleem Chatotam, on the day that I will pay your due, right, I will give you a piece of this Chatat. It's the famous, we're going to see, it's the famous Garitol, that the Egel, the Cheta Egel, that Hashem agrees not to punish them in their entirety, but rather to punish them in a piecemeal manner, which is that any time they sin or any time there is a problem, then Hashem will pay back or take out the punishment of the Egel in small pieces along each of those additional punishments that he's giving to them. So Rashi over here makes a very interesting comment. We don't believe God is talking about the Egel, it's found in Shmot. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, says, Beyom Pakti, B'Tishabov, on Tishabov, which is not the case at all. Marshal comments over here and says that Beyom Pakti, we know, is from the Shabra Luchot, the Mishnah in Tanit. The Shabra Luchot, Masa Egel, is on Shiva Sabbatam, was not on Tishabov. And Rashi is quoting this as the source that this is, what we're going to say in a second, which is Tana Mishim Bar Yossi, 18 Mizumen of the Pranot. This is a bad day, an ominous day. So first of all, if it was Shiva Sabra Tammuz, that would be true as well. If Shiva Sabra Tammuz, you know the Mishnah and Tanya says, Chamisha Dvarim Iru Labotenu Be Shiva Sabra Tammuz, and Chamisha Dvarim Iru Labotenu Be Tisha B'Av. So there is, it is, Shiva Sabra Tammuz is also a ominous day. Yeah, they're actually quoted, Obiyam Bhakti Be Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av. Now, there are a number of possibilities that explain Rashi. The easiest way to explain Rashi is just to say that, like the Marsha says, that we're talking about Shiva Sabra Tammuz. I don't know what Rashi's talking about. Right, that's one possibility. Right, the other possibilities are, one is that maybe the Rashi is headed wrong, which is that the Yirmiyahu, when it talks about Ketura Tam Yobedu, might have been talking about there, the destruction of Yerushalayim, and that's what Rashi talks about, the destruction of the Bayit Rishon and Bayit Shniyah. So that might be what Rashi is referring to, that quote of that pasuk. The other two possibilities are, one possibility is that if you subscribe to this Agadato, or this Midrash, that whenever Hashem punishes for the punishes anyone, he will add in an additional part of the Egel. That's how he will give the punishment of the Egel. What was the first time B'nai Yisrael are punished after they do the Egel? What's the first thing they do wrong after they do the Egel? That is the Maseha Meraglim. Right, so that's the first time that Hashem has the opportunity to punish them for the Egel. So that what it means, when it comes to punish you for the Egel, Upakarati Elam. That's it. So what was that first time that Hashem had the opportunity to punish them? That was on Tisha B'Av. The last possibility is Rashi comes in Chumash. Now the place is that the Maaseh Egel, at the time of the Maaseh Egel, Hashem was already ready to punish B'nai Yisrael and leave them in the bar for 40 years. He actually doesn't carry it out until the Maaseh Meraglim. So anyway, already it was Mukhan. From the moment that the Chet Egel happened, it was already Mukhan, the punishment of Tisha B'Av, and therefore Rashi is connecting the Maaseh Egel to the Maaseh Meraglim, because we see by the Maaseh Meraglim that Hashem says you're going to spend 40 years in this Midbar. Truthfully, from the time of the Meraglim to the time of the Midbar is 38 years. So the only way you can say that is if you actually start counting from earlier on. So that would make it more inclusive if you go back to the Maaseh Egel, which is what Rashi comments. So just, it's interesting Rashi, and just some possibilities of how to deal with this Rashi in the context of him talking, Rashi talking about Tisha B'Av on a pasuk that's talking about the Maaseh Egel. Right now, So he's talking about after they sell Yosef, after Mechirat Yosef, it was a bad time, again, an ominous time, because Yosef was sold, then Yehuda marries two of his sons, and then Tamar is almost misrefet. So these are all these negative things that happened at that time. So Rehoboam went to Shechem, because there all Bnei Yisrael gathered to anoint him as the king. So Tani Mishum Rav Yosef, Makom Mizuman Lupuranut. Shechem is just a bad place. It's a place that, again, has a negative connotation with it. First of all, Shechem, Inu and Dina. Right? The first bad incident in Shechem is that Dina was raped. Shechem Machu Echav Et Yosef. In Shechem, Yosef is sold. Now, that's not so clear, because they sell him. Right, very good. His father says to them, go check on your brothers in Shechem, but he goes to Dothan, because the person he bumps, the Ish that he bumps into, tells him that your brothers went to Dothan. Now, Rashi offers an alternative, that Dothan is a suburb of Shechem. That's what he says. It was a suburb of Shechem, and then it's subsumed under the name of Shechem. And that's why Rashi answers the problem. The other possibility is Rashi says that Dothan is Shechem. That Dothan comes from the Medrash that the Danino told Harago. That they set up a basement to try Yosef and to give him the death penalty. So that's why it was called Dothan. Dothan was after the Me'orah, the incident that happened, not that that was actually a place. Shechem is the place that it happened. Those are two possibilities that Rashi suggests. The third thing that happens in Shechem is that Nechlecha Malchut Beit David. That was the location in which Shechem Nechlecha Malchut Beit David is where the Pirud HaMalchut happens. That's where the Malchut, when Yerubam splits off from the Malchut, he does it in Shechem, and really Shechem becomes the capital city of the Northern Kingdom. So Shechem is a place that's Mukhan Lupuranut. But Yerubam Yatzah Mi'Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Chanina Bar Papa Sheyatzah Mi'Pitkah Shel Yerushalayim. When Yerubam, what does it mean that he went out of Yerushalayim? So Rav Papa says that he left Yerushalayim, meaning they left the Petek. Petek, or Pitkav Yerushalayim, is like the decree or the letter, right, of Yerushalayim, which refers to what was the purpose of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the centrality of Yerushalayim is the Mikdash, and the Mikdash, what the centrality of the Mikdash is the Avodah and the Mikdash. So you're talking about the Avodat HaMikdash, your Rambam walks out of your line, he leaves behind the Avodat HaMikdash. Because the Rambam is about to not only go to break the Malchut, what is he also going to do? He's going to leave the Avodah, he's going to set up the Agalim in Beit El and the Dan, and he's going to never go back to Avodat HaMikdash. They're alone in the field. So now, what does it mean that he's in this new scarf or this new beged or cloak? Summer of Nachman, Kisama Chadasha, just like a new cloak, Ma Sama Chadasha, Imba Shum Dofi, has no problems in it. I mean, it's new. So there's no tears, there's no poles in it, it's brand new. It's all nice and smooth. Af Toratosha Yerubam Lo Yabashum Dofi. Also, the Torah of Yerubam, Yerubam was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. There was no questions or gimgumim in the Torah of Yerubam. Davar Acher. And in the conversation between Achiyah Shiloni and Yerubam, they spoke in Torah and Chadesh Dorim that no one had heard right in the world. So my Yushem Levadam Besadeh. What does it mean they were alone in the field? That all other Talmid Chachamim in the world were like them, to like the grass of the fields. All the reasons or the depths of Torah were open and apparent to them, like in the field is open. You see from here, or the Gemara is at least making a case here, that Yerubam was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. The Gemara has to explain at least at some point that a Navi appointed Yerubam to be the king. I mean, it's not simply that Yerubam decided to split off from Malchut Beit David. Yerubam is instructed by the Navi to break off. He anoints him to be the king over the 10 Shevatim. And he tells him that's exactly what it is. So why is Yerubam chosen? What's so special about Yerubam? So we saw already part of in earlier that Yerubam objects to Shlomo, gives Musar to Shlomo HaMelech. So that already entitled him, or that was one of the reasons that entitled him to this chut, that he should be the Melech. And over here, I think Gemara talks about the fact that he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. We have to talk about the positive side of why Yerubam is chosen. His decisions afterwards are poor, which lead to a very, you know, awful things. But at least in the first place, he was chosen to be the king by Hashem and by the Navi. So it has to be something positive. And this is, I think, the Gemara talked about the positive aspects of Yerubam ben Nevat. It says, "Lachain tidni shiluchim amoreshet gat batei achziv liachzav the malchei Yisrael." So now this is, the Gemara is going to have to turn to the pasuk, but Tidni Shluchim. Shluchim is here, we're going to talk about Gerushin, right? The Shaleach to send away, Gerushin to divorce. Moreshet Gat, right? Who's Moreshet Gat? Who's the one who inherited Gat? Gat was a city of the Plishtim, right? Who was the one who killed the Plishti and gave an Israel control over that area? That was David HaMelech, right? David who killed Goliath, gave the Jews. So that's David. So Tidni Shluchim. Divorce David. You're going to divorce David. Batei Achziv, Leichzav the Malchei Yisrael. So over here again, Rashi brings two interpretations, but the word Achziv, or Leichzav, is, you know, to deceive, to lie. So over here, so that the Batei Achziv, they've left the house, right, of David. I mean that they lied, here they're not using lie, but they rejected, or they went and chose a new house, right, that they picked Batei Yisrael now. They picked the Northern Kingdom, they picked the Malchei Yisrael, and left the Batei David, right? And then they absorbed the Malchei Yisrael. And that in the end ends them up in Avodah Zarah, or to be conquered by those that worship Avodah Zarah, because they're in the Northern Kingdom. One who killed the Plishti, David HaMelech, Barisha Temet Gat, right, inherited Gat for them, Tidnu Shiluchim Livanav, was ended up getting divorced from his children, but they Achziv, they Tzav the Malchei Yisrael, that they've rejected, they have rebelled against the house of David, and that the house of Israel will also reject, or ends up rejecting Hashem, or is conquered by the Ovdei Avodat Kochavim. Amar Rav Chinin Rav Papa Kolenem Yolam Azeh Velo Bracha Kilu Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. This is from the Gemara in Brachot to begin today, in the beginning of the, right, the sixth parak when it talks about Brachot. It says, from anybody who eats or gets benefit from this world without making a bracha, otherwise Kilu Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael, steals from Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. Shenemar Gozel Aviv V'Imo Bomer Ein Pasha I don't know why it says here Poshe. It's in Pasha. Chaver hu l'ish mashchit. So Gozel Avivimo. Who's Avivimo? Avivimo is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right now we have him anytime Kavedet Avikavet Imecha, that the Kvod of parents is domain, or similar to the Kvod of Kono, that of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we here we say Gozel Avivimo, one who steals from his parents, from his father, is Hashem. Well, Mary Pasha, he doesn't think anything of it. He thinks there's no problem with that. Chaber hu l'ish mashchit. He's a friend, right? Or he befriends the ish mashchit, the man of destruction. So, v'ein aviv el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aviv is referring to Hashem. Shnemar lo hu avicha tanecha. Right? So that's found in the parts of the Zeno. V'ein imo el HaKnesset Yisrael. And imo is Knesset Yisrael. Shnemar shma v'ni musar avicha v'al titosh torati mecha. So they're talking about torati mecha. It's talking about the Torah of Klal Yisrael, the minhagim of our forefathers. So, if how there you see, Gozel Aviv Imo, you steal from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you steal from Knesset Yisrael. Then, obviously, literally, there's no such thing, as Rashi points out, in Zelah Kalpe Ma'al or Kalpe Knesset Yisrael. There's no such thing as really stealing from Hashem or stealing from Klal Yisrael. So what does it mean to steal from Hashem and steal from Klal Yisrael? That is not monea bracha, someone who doesn't make a bracha. You can't literally steal, so it has to be something in the figurative sense. What's the figurative sense of stealing? It's someone who does not make the bracha. So he steals from Klal Yisrael, he steals from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Chachamim Metakin on every item that you have to make a bracha. And a person who doesn't eat and doesn't make a bracha is called a gazlan, because Hashem Ha'aretzim Lo'ah, everything belongs to Hashem, so if you want to partake, you want to take from it, you need to make a bracha to be a matir. It's like a bracha is a matir for you to get hanah from Lama Zeh, because that basically acknowledges of Kodesh Baruch Hu is gifting us these items, or the fact that really the bowing on these items is really a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the person does this, steals from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and steals from Knesset Yisrael, because he doesn't give the bracha to right Knesset Yisrael as well, doesn't give that sense of bracha. It's going to cause problems for Klal Yisrael, and he's taking away what Hashem has granted to us, and it's going to cause difficulties for Klal Yisrael. Right now, the my chaver hu l'ish mashchit. What does it mean that he's a chaver? He's a friend. He befriends the man of destruction. Chaver hu l'Yerovam ben Nevat. He's like a partner with Yerovam ben Nevat. He shechitet Yisrael avim sheshamayim, who took the Jews away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Yerovam ben Nevat, by setting up the Agalim and setting up the Avodah Zarah, took the Jews away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, this individual who doesn't give the bracha is also like he's stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and causing difficulties for Klal Yisrael. Alright, Vayidach Yeravam et Yisrael Me'achrei Hashem V'chti'am Chata'a Gidola. So Yeravam pushes Bnei Yisrael, Vayidach, he pushes them away from Hashem, and he causes them to sin gravely. Rabbi Chanin, Kishtei Maklot Amitizot Zu et Zu. They're like two staffs or two sticks that are hitting one another, that they're hitting each other. So it's if you hit one stick, it goes flying. And if you bang one stick with another stick, the stick that is the object of the hitting goes flying, so too. That's why Yerovam ben Nevat took the Bnei Yisrael away from Hashem. He didn't just move them a little bit. He moved them very far away from Hashem by preventing them from going up to Yerushalayim and setting up the Hagalim. Now, once we're on the topic of Egel, then the Gemara goes to Dash and the Pasuk in Devarim, Dizahav. There, Dizahav, Rashi, and Rashi says that the uncle is Metargim there, that Dizahav refers to the Egel, right, the golden calf, because obviously in the beginning of Devarim, there are places that are named, as Rashi points out, these aren't places that Bnei Israel went. So then the Midrash and Rashi said these are all locations that Bnei Yisrael did something wrong, and Moshe is giving them Musar about these locations. So one of them is Dizahab, which is referring to the Egel, Egel HaZahab. Amru Debei Rabbi Nai, Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nosh Olam, B'shul Kesev Zahab, Shish Bata Lehem, L'Yisrael, Ad Shiyomru Dayi, Garam Lehem, Lasot Em Elohei Zahab. Really, Hashem, you're somewhat responsible for the fact that Bnei Yisrael made the golden calf, because you gave them this tremendous bracha of the gold and silver, unlimited, and they didn't want any more of it so much. You gave them this unlimited gold and silver, and that's what causes them in the end to go after the Egel HaZahav. Mashal, what is it like?
Giving a child that was man to handle money, too much money.
Right. That's right. That's what the Midrash says. There, the Midrash quotes the saying of Melech who gives his son a kiss of money and stands him outside the Beit HaZanot and says, do the right thing. So, right, there's too much temptation when that the money is given to him. It's Mashal, what's the Mashal like? Ain Arid Doreis, Vinohaim, Mitoch Kupashal Tevin. You don't hear a lion roaring and in joy over a bucket of grain. Ella Mitoch Kupashal Basak. But when he finds a nice big pot of meat, then he starts to roar and enjoy it. Meaning that if, again, the Nimshal over here is that when he has plenty to eat, that's when he gets all excited. And also over here, when he had plenty of gold and silver, they end up, right, getting excited and doing the wrong thing. Amra Boshia Ad Yeravama Yusho Yonkim Egel Echad. So this is like, almost like a play on the words. Till the point of Yeravam Ben Nevat, and Yusho used to unique, which obviously means to a nurse, where they used to draw their nurture from, sustenance from one eagle, which is in a negative sense, right? They had the chait of the eagle as a hab. Two or three. So Rashi really says, shnayim v'shlosha means shnayim v'shlosha, meaning that two and three. That Rav Avim added number two and number three, which is the additional two agalim, so which is a total of three agalim. This is what we discussed above when I was discussing with the eagle that the Agat or the Midrash tells us that anytime the Parunut come about to the world, there's at least a portion of the eagle that is associated with that punishment. How much is Echad Miasrim Ba'arba? 1/24 of a Chrei of a Litra Shel Egel Rishon. Now the Chrei of a Litra is the scale. It's how much you need, how much weight to shift the scale off center. So now, 1/24 of shifting the scale off center, so Rashi points, it's not an exact measurement. This is just an indication of the fact that there's a small portion. It's a way to express that there's a small portion of the chet ha'egel that is associated or placed together with any other punishment that is meted out to Bnei Yisrael. Shenemar, this is the same pasuk that we quoted above. V'yom pokti, v'gari lehem chatatam, which here you clearly see the pasuk is, I mean, it's obviously in Chumash too, but the pasuk is referring to the egel. And they use the pasuk to tell you, when the day that I punish you, I will bring the chet of the eagle along with it. After 24 generations, this pasuk, the payday came. They had to pay for the chet eagle. Shenemar vayikra boznai kol gadol emor karup kudat ha'ir kudot ha'ir. The time for the kudat ha'ir has come. V'ish kli mashchito biyado. And each person will have his utensil of destruction in his hand. So here we're talking about Yerushalayim, and this is Karbu Piku Dot. The time of Piku has come, the time for the payment has come. How do we know that's 24 generations later? Well, 24 generations later, where are we starting from? We're talking about the Egel, we're talking about someone from, as Shevet Yehuda does, the easiest one to do, and that's what Rashi does. You have Aminadab, who is present at the Egel. So if you take Nachshon ben Aminadab, his son Nachshon is there at the time of the Egel. So you take from Nachshon, which is Red Megillah's root. So getting from Nachshon to David HaMelech is pretty straightforward, right? You have Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Ishai, and David. So that gets you six generations until David HaMelech. Then from David HaMelech, if you count the kings of Yehuda, you're going to end up with 18 kings of Yehuda. So we can go through with them. If we go through them, there's Shlomo, his son Rechavam. Right, then you have Abiyah, Asa, Yehoshaphat. Right, you have Yoram, Achazio, Yoash, Amatsia, Uziah, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, Menashe, his son Amon. And then we have Yoshiyahu, Yehoyachaz, and then his brother Yoyakim was in the same time that ruled them, so we don't count him. And then you have Yoyachin. Right, so that's Yoyachin's last one, and Yoyachin is the last one before Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is the one in which the Mikdash is destroyed. That's when the Galut happens. That's after 24 generations. The 24th generation, that's when Tzidkiyahu comes to power. That's when this payment, the payday, came about. After this incident, Yerubam does not go back to doing, or doesn't change his mind. So over there, it's the story we discussed before, the story about the Navi. He comes to him, he's at the Egel, he goes out to tell him to go get the Navi, and his arm freezes in the air. He asks the Navi to daven on his behalf, and he does, and his arm is freed again, and he realizes, it's clear to him that Hashem is the real Hashem, because the miracle that just happened, nevertheless, right? Lo shav Yerubam Midarko Ara. He does not backtrack. He does not change his ways. Maya Acher. So Tamar Rabbi Abba, Achar Shetapsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yerubam B'Bigdo, Ramalo Chozer B'Cha Atashem grabbed Yerubam by his cloak and said to him, come back, do tshuva! Bani, Bata, Ubeni Shai, Netayel, B'Gan Eden. You, me, and Beni Shai, whether this refers to David or Mashiach, will all walk together in Gan Eden. Amalo, Mi Baros. He says, who's first? Who walks first? The three of us, who's walking first? He says, Beni Shai Baros. He says, Yehaki will be in it. No, thank you. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable, Mr. Haskell here. Kadosh Baruch Hu was offering him Gan Eden just to tshuva, and he's still worried about Mi Baros. Who's going to be first? And then someday, you know, we tell you when you have kids, and, who's going to be first? Who's going to be first, right? That's something that's very important to them. But here again, that people, many times, it's a famous story in by the Bris Gerov. There was a case with a butcher. And the butcher came in with a trefa, and a thousand ruble, right? They brings it in to look at it. He paskins on his trefa, who? The butcher says, trefa, if you say it's a trefa, and I won't do anything. 1,000 ruble down. Comes down the following year, or later on that year, he has an altercation with another individual, and they come to base him with the individual, and there's a case about a ruble or 2 rubles. It's a very small claims court, right? It was a very small case, and the butcher loses the case. When he's walking out of the court, he starts to curse the dayanim over the loss of the case. And so he didn't understand what was going on. Here's a butcher that last time with 1,000 rubles, right? It was, he had to change the trade was a trade when he walks out. Yet when it came to a case where it was a monetary case over 2 rubles and he wants to curse the dayanim, what's going on? So there the Vizgarov says, you know what the difference is? You know what the issue is? In the first case, right, he was losing money, but he didn't lose to anybody else. In the second case, someone else won. And that's what bothered him so much. When it was his money, when he lost, nobody else won, he was okay. That he could deal with. But when there's another party who won at his expense, that he couldn't handle. And here you see the same type of idea here with Yerubim ben Nevat. Here, Hashem is offering him everything. Mi Baros, who's first? That he can't handle, that someone else will be ahead of him, someone else will be better than him, that he couldn't handle. That's a human quality that we always have to be careful about, that we make sure that we're doing what's right and not making sure that we're, you know, hurt or taking out or doing things that are inappropriate because we feel someone else won or someone else got the better end of the deal. Right, so now, Rabbi Bo, Dorish v'shlusha melachim. He used to be Dorish about the three kings meaning our Mishnah, the three kings who don't get Olam Haba. So Cholish, he got weak, he got sick. So he thought that maybe it was because he was, you know, poking fun at them or whatever it was that he was doing that was negative. So Kabbalah Leit, Olam Dorish. Then he decided that in order to get better, he would make a Kabbalah that he wouldn't teach about the three kings not getting Olam Haba anymore. So then, Kevan Deepak, he got better, it worked. Right, the plan works and he gets better. Hadar Kadorish, he went back to going ahead and naming Dorish on the topic. Someone said, wait a minute, didn't you say that you weren't going to do this anymore? He says, Amar Inhu mi Hadrubahu? Adana Hadrubi? He says, wait, they didn't do tshuva. Those three kings didn't go back on their way to do tshuva, so why should I have to do? Why should I go back? He says, I needed to get better. So I kind of gave them a little bone to get better, and now I'm going back to my old ways, just like they went back to their old ways. Vashi, Uka, Auki, Ashlosha Malachim. So he got up to in Sanhedrin, he was learning the Sanhedrin, and he got up to Perkis Helik, and he says, tomorrow we're going to learn about the three kings. So Amar the Machar Niftach B'Chavrin. Tomorrow we're going to speak about our friends. Speak our friends, the three kings who don't get Olam Haba. So it's like highlights for tomorrow. Finishes up this year. Today he says, tomorrow we're going to deal with our three friends. So At Menashe, who's one of the three kings, Itchazalei B'Chalmei, comes to him in a dream that night. Amar Chavrech B'Chavrei Davuch Karilan, you're calling me your friend and the friend of your father? How could you address me in such a manner, right, that is lacking in Kavod? So he says, Me'echa Bayit L'Mishra Amotzi. So he asks, Menashe starts to ask him a walking question. He says, hey, where do you break the bread? When you make a motzi, where do you break the bread? Amalei L'Yodano. He says, I don't know. Rav Asher said, Bechem, I don't know the answer. So Me'echa Bayit L'Mishra Amotzi. Where to break bread for amotzi, you don't know? And you're calling me your chaver? I mean, I'll squash you in Torah. Right? We're not even on the same level, and you're calling me a chaver? So teach me the halacha. Well, the machar derishman alei mishmech bepirka. So teach me the halacha, and tomorrow I will say over in your name the halacha. So amalei meheked the karim bishula. So Rashi brings down again two interpretations in the place where it gets hardened or cooks well. So one possibility is the place where the best, where it's cooked the best, it's the most solidly cooked, that's where you should break the bread from. The other possibility is from the first place, the place where the plem panel, where its face becomes solid, where the first place where it darkened on the oven, and there again, there's also happens to be a machlokas about which side it becomes darkened first. Is it the side that's attached, the way they used to bake bread, they used to attach it to the wall of the oven. So the question is, which side darkened first? Is it the side that was facing the fire, or is it side on the wall because the wall got hot and got fire? So that happens to be machlokes rishonim, which side actually got hardened first. But either the interpretation here is the piece that got hardened first or became crusted first, or the place that was cooked the best, or the most cooked, or the best cooked part, that's where you should break bread. So, but of course, he keeps his half of the deal. And he's going to go and say over this halacha. But then before he does that, he says, listen to that. He says, you're a huge Talmud Chacham. You're teaching me halacha, Rashi says. What were you doing running after Avodah Zarah? It's one of the most famous lines. If you were there, Ravashi, how about you would pull up your cloak or you pull up your tunic? You would have been running after Avodah Zarah. So this is, I'll finish the story. The Machar Malahu, the Rabbanan, he came back to, he says, Niptach, Birubuta, talk about the great ones, right, the leaders. So you saw he changed the tone of his comments from Chavrech to Rabuta, a manner of respect, and giving them the cover that should have been was appropriate for them. So this Gemara is famous because of the Ravashi, the claim of Menashe to Ravashi, which is number one is then it's chaverchachi together makumo. Don't judge your friend until you're in their place. Right? It's very hard for us to judge what they were doing in that time. Number two is Ravashi is talking about a time when the Yitzharah or Avodah Zarah has already been diminished or taken away or killed. And Menashe lived in a time when the Yitzhar Raph or Avodah Zarah was very, very strong. And because of that, Menashe says, you don't have any idea. You're speaking as a person after the fact, right? You're looking back when you don't have the temptation. How would you question our behavior when you didn't have such a temptation? And again, the temptation was not a simple thing. In Judaism, we believe, and I've spoken about this before here in Perkei Chelek, the fact that every drive is neutral, right? Every drive is a neutral drive. It can manifest itself for the good. It can manifest itself for the bad. Over here, what is the drive that brings one to Avodah Zarah? It's a drive to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the drive to Kirbat Hashem. It can manifest itself in Nivuah. It can manifest itself in Avodah Zarah. In that it doesn't, this drawer, this drive to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a positive aspect to it. But it's hard to control, meaning that it ended up in Nivuah, it also ended up in Avodah Zarah. That's why when the Yetzer Hara, the Gra says, when the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was eliminated, so was Nivuah. That was the end of Nivuah. Pascha Nivuah in Israel. At that point in time, there was no longer any more Nivuah in Israel, because the same drive that leads one to Avodah Zarah leads one to Nivuah. So here you're talking about tremendous Talmid Chachamim, as the Gemara points out, that they were drawn to Avodah Zarah was a misappropriation or misallocation of such a drive. It really was a drive to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, gets drawn or placed in Avodah Zarah instead of in its appropriate place, which ended up in Nivuah, or drawing them close to Hashem. Achav, what about Achav? Why is his name Achav, which is a conjugation of Ach and Av? Because he's Ach l'shamayim, Av l'avodot kochavim. Ach over here to l'shamayim, he's a brother to heaven. It's not a positive brother. It means in a negative sense, we're going to see. Ach l'shamayim and Av l'avodot kochavim. Ach l'shamayim dichtiv, v'ach l'tzarah yivaleit. Right, a brother to misfortune will be born. So again, here the ach is in a negative sense. So there's an ach l'shamayim, he calls it tzarot l'Israel. And av l'avodot kochavim dichtiv, k'rachim av al banim. So we say rachim av al banim also over here. So av l'avodot kochavim means that he's a father. Right? You know, literally, father doesn't literally mean father in a biological sense. A father can also be, right, rachim av al banim, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu has mercy, like a father has over a son, meaning that we also call a Kodesh Baruch Hu av, and even though we're not literally biologically banim. So also over here, he's an av l'avodot kochavim. Vayhi hanakel lechto bechatot Yeravam ben Nevat. So it talks about here, about Achav, that the light, Nakel, the light ones he did were like the Katot the Rebbe Minavad. I mean, open Kalocha Sachav, the lightest of sins that Achav did, Kechamrocha Sayyiravam. Those were the gravest sins of Yeravam. So now you have Yeravam does wrong, Achav does multiples of Yeravam, meaning that he's doing things that are much worse than what Yeravam did, and nevertheless, Mibnei Matala Katuv Yeravam. Why does the Pasuk put the Chet and tie it to Yeravam? He was the first one. He did it wrong. He's the Melech Rishon. That he cooked his meal. But again, like Amalek is the first nation that comes and attacks Bnei Israel in the Midbar. They cool it off. They change right the topic. It's a ploy that's always used. Once you've done something, or once somebody's broken the barrier, you take down the severity for others. So you break down here. Also, Yerovim Ben Nevat took down the barrier against the Avodah Zarah, an institutional Avodah Zarah, and having a kingdom that follows the Avodah Zarah. Because of that, he is one who's credited in that sense, in the negative sense, but credited with Avodah Zarah, even though those others did worse than him. Gam is bechotam ki galim al tamei sadai. Even all their mizbechot, their altars, are like waves on the furrows of the fields. There wasn't a single furrow in Eretz Yisrael that he didn't put up a Avodah Zarah and bow down to it. So now we did with Yerovam that he doesn't go to Olam Haba. Now we talk about Achav, all these negative things about Achav, but how do we know he doesn't go to Olam Haba? Pasuk says, "Dichtiv ichrati l'Achav mashtin bakir batur ba'azu b'Yisrael." So here, this is the nevuah that Elisha gets, as well as the other Nabi, that Achav will be wiped out. Not only will Achav be wiped out, his entire family will be wiped out. This statement, the pasuk is Achav mashtin bakir batur bazu b'Israel. That mashtin bakir is referring to a child or somebody young. There'll be nothing left. There'll be no remnant of Beit Achav. So now the Gemara says, what does it mean that Tzur be stopped, Vazuv, and be left without anything with no remnant? Atzur b'olam hazeh, Vazuv, the olam haba. That the double lashon is one for olam hazeh, one for olam haba. Here we know that Achav does not get the olam haba. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yipanim ba'azakha Omri the Malchut. Why did Omri get a chance at being the king? Mihnei, Shehosif, Krach Echad, Beretz Yisrael. Because he added an additional city to Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing statement here. That Omri was Zochet to the kingdom because of this one fact that he added a city in Eretz Yisrael. It tells you the importance of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and building up the Eretz Yisrael. It says, Shnemar, Vayikain et Ahar, Shomrom, Eit Shemer, B'kikrim, B'kikrim Kesef, he bought the in the Shomron, the Har Shomron, he brought from Shemer with money. But even at the Har, he builds it up. But he brought Shemayir, Asher Banal, Shem Shemer, Adonai Har Shomron. So then he calls the city or the areas that he built up Shemer after the Adonai Har Shomron. Now Adonai Har Shomron could either be the owner, like the original owner of the place, and he calls it after him, or Adonai Har Shomron could be the god or the deity of Har Shomron, and he calls it after the deity of Har Shomron. So even though he's not doing necessarily what's right, but because he built the city in Eretz Yisrael, he's given the schut or the ability to be the king over Yisrael for a period of time. Why did Achav rule over Bnei Yisrael for 22 years? In the end, Achav does so much bad, horrible things, especially his wife Yezebel, and nevertheless, he still was a king for 22 years. It was his reward for the Torah that was given in 22 Otiyot. Shenemar says by Yishlach Malachim El Achav Melech Yisrael Aira that there were messengers sent to Achav of Israel in the city. This is what Ben Hadad says from Aram. Your silver and gold are all mine. Your beautiful wives and children, they're all mine now too. Tomorrow I'm going to send my servants to you. They're going to come do a search of your house. And all the houses of your servants. Anything you desire, anything you love, put in their hands. And they're going to take it. But Yomer l'malachei ben Hadad, Achav responds to the Malachei ben Hadad, Imru l'adunei ha-melech, kol asher shalachta el avdecha b'rishona eseh. What you said in the beginning I'll do, but this I refuse to do. I refuse to do. So he refuses to give over all these possessions to Hadad. And in those possessions is my machmarei necha. What is the apple of your eye? What is this item that we're talking about here? That's machmarei necha. Lav sefer Torah. It was, must have been a sefer Torah. The sefer Torah, which is the machmarei necha, the king who has a sefer Torah with him. That's what Hadad is telling him he's got to give up. And Achav refuses. Says, I can give up everything, but I'm not going to give up my sefer Torah. He gave kavod haTorah. Someone says, how do you know it was a sefer Torah? Then what about Kuchavim? I mean, Achav wasn't exactly the finest with individuals. Who says he's holding a sefer Torah? He was talking about Avodah Zarah. That was his machmarei necha. Because it says there, so over there it says that all the kenim and all the am say to him, the pasuk says, Al tishma velo toveh. Do not listen, do not, you know, acquiesce to the request of Hadad. So it says, Dilma, it says, well, you have all this kenim. If this kenim are advising, they're not going to be advising about Avodah Zarah. They're going to be advising about something like the Torah. It says, Dilma save dav hatohavu. Maybe they were foolish elders. I mean, that, foolish elders, but elders that were not necessarily compliant with the Torah. So kenim doesn't automatically mean zikne Torah or chachamim. Zikneim, you can have people as kenim who are also, right, not shomrei Torah mitzvot. So my says, Milo Kti Vayishara Devar B'nei Avshalom, a similar case by Avshalom. Avshalom liked the idea. Uvene calls Zikne Yisrael, as well as in the eyes of the Zikne Yisrael. From Rabbi Yosef, Savi Devat Atam, because Savi Devat, we're talking about here foolish Zikinim over here. We're not talking about Zikinim that are Mulumad B'Torah, that are Tamidei Chachamim, we're not talking about that. Here Zikinim is used to determine Zikinim, meaning advisors, either elders or advisors, but not necessarily those that are compliant with the Torah. And Abay Avshalom, it's clear that whatever he was doing was not compliant with the Torah. So the same thing over here. Why don't we say the same thing about this came over here? Man says, no, Hatam lo ktiv v'chol ha'am. By Avshalom, it doesn't say the whole nation. Hach lo ktiv v'chol ha'am. Here it says not only this came, but the whole nation. There's no chance that the whole nation was there, the whole nation was advising him as such, and there wasn't a tzaddik there. It says, and we know the passage says, so that there were 7,000 individuals that were left over with knees that had not bowed down to the Baal and a mouth that hadn't kissed the Baal. So you see, there are individuals left over in Klal Yisrael that are good. So if you say Kol Ha'am, you have to include some of these good people. So if they're included, it must be that he's making a good decision here, and the good decision is not to give up the Sefer Torah. So because of that, Kvod HaTorah, he's rewarded with 22 years of rule over Klal Yisrael. I don't know, Nachman, Achav Shakul Hayam. Achav was a, what we call, he was a Benoni. He was equal, he had equal sins and equal chuyot and mitzvot. He was on the scale, he was exactly balanced. Shenemar, Yom Hashem Yifatet Achav, V'yal V'yipol B'Ramot Gilad. Who's going to go out and seduce Achav to go to battle in Ramot Gilad so that he will die there? Each one of the people make their suggestions about how they're going to do this, how they're going to convince Achav to go up to Ramot Gilad where he's going to meet his end. So again, over here, why did Hashem have to be mifateh? Why did he have to seduce him? If he was bad, then Hashem just couldn't punish him. Why did he have to have something happen here that causes more evil, and that's what's going to be machriah him, the tzad kol? Must have been that he was equal until this point. Smatler of Yosef, mandich dibei. But I wonder about, we say, rak lo ki hayak achav asher hit makher la sota rabbeini Hashem, sher sita uto izevel ishto. But him, there's nobody like Achav. He was so foreign, he was so evil towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to do bad towards Hashem, that his wife had convinced him and pushed him, izevel pushed him to do all this bad. So here you have a puzzle that's stating about Achav that he's like this horrible individual. How can you call him a shakul? And it's just one thing that pushed him over. No. Tanina, b'chol yom hayta shokelet shiklei zahav, every day used to weigh out or count out a bunch of gold coins. You're going to say he was a balanced individual? That doesn't sound very balanced to me. Achav was very generous with his money. Since he gave benefit, he supported Torah with his possessions. He was forgiven on half. He sinned fully. He didn't have very good left with him. But because of this schut, the schut of Torah and the schut of supporting Torah, that gave him a pardon on half of his sins. That's an amazing statement. Here's an individual who is beyond evil. and did such horrible things, yet because of his support of Torah and Talmud Chachamim, he gets kapara on half. It's an unbelievable statement. Right. So here we know who got chosen. The spirit or the wind comes out. V'yamod l'pnei Hashem, v'yomer ani apatenu. I will seduce him. V'yomer Hashem, I love bima. How will you do this? I will go and be a spirit of sheker, I mean the wind of spirit, a voice of sheker by the Nevi'ei sheker. That's what when he asked. You remember Achab and Yoshaphat are sitting there and they asked for the Nevi'im to tell him what's going to happen in Ramoth Gilad, and everybody says, like Tzidkiah ben Kenana says over there, you know, he brings out the horns of steel and says, you will gore Aram. They all tell him that he's going to win in Ramoth Gilad, he's going to win the battle of Aram. So he says here, I'm going to go be a voice in the Nevi'ei sheker to convince him to go up to Ramoth Gilad. So Hashem gives him permission to go out and seduce Achab. Go ahead and do this. My ruach, what's this ruach? We saw this earlier in the Gemara. We saw this in Daf Petet. Rabbi Yochanan Rucho shel Navot HaYisraeli. The spirit of Navot, who was taking revenge for the fact that Achav had killed him to take away his kerem, that the Izel set him up with the Edim that made him into a Moed B'Malchut, and therefore he's put to death. So for that death, Navot comes to take revenge. And then we said this over there on Petet as well. That the Gemara says, "This ruach of Navot Yisraeli might say, what does it mean? Say, I'm a rabbin. Say, mimchitzati. Hashem threw the ruach of Navot out of his mechitza. Shkein ketiv, dover shkarim, lo yikon l'negad einai. Those that speak sheker cannot stand before me." So over here, Navot, a Israeli who really deserved to be able to go back and take revenge on Achab, nevertheless, the fact that he does do it throws him out of the mechitza of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he loses out. And this is the point we talk about Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, and Sigmund Mozart talks about this unbelievable concept that you never want people to be punished because of you. You never want evil to befall others because of you, because you see here, Navot Israeli was justified and probably right in what he did. Nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says you can't be in my mechitza because someone else got punished because of you, or you're causing someone else to get punished, as well as the Dover Shkarim over here, which is that the lack of honesty, meaning that you're causing Sheker to come to the Olam, and the Chotem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Emet. Hashem cannot stand for Sheker, as we all Emet, and here you are causing Sheker to come to the world, you have to be eliminated from my Mechitza. Amra Pabainu Damri Inche, the Parakine Machreb Beit, it's an unbelievable statement, it's like a, you know, this for them is like a common expression, that Parakine, someone who takes revenge on his enemy or pays back his, and again, kina, his jealousy, he takes out his revenge, Machreb Beit ends up destroying his own house. In the end, that you lose out, I mean that taking revenge comes at a very big cost, and that's as we see, it's true. In general, and here you see this by Navot Israeli, taking the revenge on Achav came at a big cost that he was thrown out of the Nechitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayas Achav et Asherah, Vayosef Achav lasot lahachis et Hashem elokei Yisrael. Achav makes the Asherah, and he goes on to do more and more things that anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikol Malchei Yisrael Asher Yuhu Lefanav. There was nobody worse than him. Everybody, he was worse than anybody before him. Rami Rav Yochanan Shekadav Adotot Shomron, he used to write on the doors of the doorways to Shomron, Akab Kafar Belokei Yisrael. Akab denies the God of Israel. Fikach in lo chelek Belokei Yisrael. Therefore he has no chelek amongst the God of Israel. Vayivakesh et Achazia, Vayilkidu, Vuhu Mitzchabe B'Shomron. So they looked out, they went to find Achazia, and they capture him, and he was hiding out in the Shomron. Achazia is being chased after by Yehu, really becomes the representative of Hashem to fulfill the nevuah of the fact that Achav's family will be totally wiped out. So Yehu over here is chasing down, trying to clear out the family. Well, why was he hiding out in the Shomron? He was cutting out the Shemot Hashem and replacing them with the Avodah Zarah. He couldn't do that out in public. They wouldn't have let him do this, so he went into a private place to do this. Now the Gemara darshins the names, Menashe. What does Menashe mean? Shenasha ka, that he distanced or he forgot. And or here in Noshe means that he oppressed, meaning that he pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rechar Menashe, Shenshiyat Yisrael, Aviyam, Mishabat Shemayim, that he caused a break between Israel and their father in heaven. He caused a shikhecha, he caused them to forget their father in heaven. Or Noshe, again, if you know Noshe, Noshe is also to put pressure on or to cause a rift of some sort between them. was 12 when he came to power. He ruled for 55 years in Yerushalayim. He did exactly what Achav, he replicates what Achav did in the Asherah. So the Gemara says, it's a hekesh here. Ma Achav ain't no chilek olam haba. Ach Menashe ain't no chilek olam haba. Just like Menashe doesn't have a chilek olam haba, so too, just like Achav doesn't have a chilek olam haba, so too Menashe doesn't have a chilek olam haba, because there's a hekesh between them in the pasuk. Okay, we'll stop over here.